Pitter patter.
Let's get at her.
Hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad. Welcome good. Back to A Thinking Person's Guide to Letterkenny. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
A moment.
Yeah.
A minute, as the kids say
a
these
minute,
days.
A minute, as the kids say.
But, apologies for that. We've,
life, families.
Yeah, no major anythings, but just enough of little stuff to... Yeah. Push us off our schedule, so apologize for anyone that feels hard done by that, but we're back.
If anyone is really disappointed,
yeah,
I appreciate how much you appreciate our podcast.
Yeah, we don't overestimate our right. place in the world.
I assume that's just Sarah.
Yeah, yeah, we apologize to Sarah.
Yes, we are sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, so we're intent upon keeping going and maybe catching up when... The next
yeah, we
bit
should.
With some,
we should do two.
A little more rapidity in mm-hmm. our scheduling.
Yes, but, rapidity.
Yeah, time will tell. So, but now we're here to address season 4, episode 5, The Letterkenny Leave.
Boom, boom.
Uh-huh.
That's our music for
Letterkenny. Right, which I think you guessed from the title what it was already anticipating.
Yeah, the Irish goodbye.
Yeah, you said it, and it obviously comes up in the episode, so... Good on you. You are in tune. Maybe you are in tune with the writers and voices of this
series. I'm sure we're kindred spirits.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they don't know it, but I do.
No, they probably feel it, though.
I'm sure they do.
Yep.
Every time we tune in, every time we record a podcast, every time I say hard no, they feel it in their soul.
Or we say pitter patter to get us going, focused on our stuff.
Yeah.
You may hear a little bouncing in the background.
Right. Shootsy has a new toy.
Big Shoots has a new toy, and he's intent upon playing with it. We put away all the squeaky toys, I think, in advance of recording, but that doesn't mean that we can't avoid all the toys.
Because
he's, let's face it, he's a very spoiled canine.
He must be entertained. Yeah.
And he knows his worth, which is to say that he knows he has mom and dad wrapped around his little paws.
His wee little paws.
So he gets what he wants, and so that means there may be a little banging.
Yeah, so apologize for the background noise.
Right, yep.
I mean, I could put it down and we could pick a new one, but
Yeah, it would just force him to find another one. Yeah,
right, we'll just go find some lone squeaky toy hiding under something.
Yep. So do we have any outstanding business before we get into this episode? Besides apologies for being late.
No, I wonder if we should address what we're drinking. We haven't done that the last few episodes.
Yeah.
I
don't know if people are that interested
in that
stuff.
You're right. They're probably not.
Yeah, but go ahead.
All right. So I've got some delicious red wine.
Yeah.
That you ordered from what's that wine club that you
I call it
a wine club, like it's like the
1980s. Yeah, it's pretty exclusive. Yeah. pretty exclusive. I mean, all you have to do is have $40 and you can join this really exclusive.
You too can join.
Yeah.
It's like Toasters.
Wait,
what? No, what was that show? The Toastmasters. And it wasn't a show, it was a club, and it was a thing in like the 80s. People, like, they were a part of Toastmasters.
And the connection is?
It's a club? I don't know.
We already established this wasn't actually a club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, but...
Anyhoozle, so tell the fans what you're drinking.
I just poured myself a nice little aviation gin and seltzer to break the monotony, since we're going to have wine with dinner after we're done recording. So, nice refreshing drink on a... Less than refreshing.
On a gloomy-ish day.
Cool. Mid-spring day after a bout of heat and humidity around these parts that lasted for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, but, we were in deep summer.
It felt
and
like
now
it, yeah.
we are back at like early fall days.
Yeah, back in early April at least.
Yeah,
so.
I don't like it.
No, I can take the respite from the heat and humidity is nice and keep your windows open and get a little fresh air. That's nice. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, because the dog days, as they call them, are coming.
They are.
Right?
I'm pretty sure Shootsy says the dog days are here, bitch.
I was going to say, they're here for the last couple months. But the days of the dog star in midsummer.
For a second, I thought you were going to reference one of my favorite murder mystery shows, Midsummer Murders.
Oh. No, I was making reference.
That's why my eyes lit up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to interpret that. I could see your eyes as the listener can't. And
then I saw your confusion.
Oh, it was yeah. It was fear. It was not confusion. It was full-on fear. What is she going to say
next? What is she going to say next? Yeah, no, I just... Midsummer Murders.
No, I was referring to the derivation of the term Dog Days of Summer.
Right, yeah.
For the dog star that appears in the summer. That was a Roman term for the summer. Was the dog days. The dog star.
Learn something new every day. So you're telling me that dog star, is it like a constellation?
It's the dog star. There's a single...
It's just an actual star. Like the North Star, we've got a dog star. Okay, so important question, is there also a cat star?
Well, do we have cat days?
Damn it!
Right?
Oh, so, such a doggist world.
It's very doggist world.
The dogriarchy.
I want to hate it, but the fact that you pulled it off and said it,
right?
And pronounced it as a complete word, is a much respect.
Yeah. Probably can't do that again.
I wouldn't try,
nope.
Personally, but much respect. Yeah, that that matters. That's
Okay, so like the episode? Should we talk about it?
Okay, is that what we're here for? Yeah, we should probably get into that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Unless we got a casserole to flip before we get started.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
And so, take a quick pause.
Yeah. And we're back.
We're back.
Yep. So, we didn't mention earlier, this is our 15th episode, and we're dealing, as we already noted, Season 4, Episode 5, The Letter Kenny Leave. So, let's get into it. The intro begins with, as so often they do, with Wayne saying, in this case... you got invited to a party the other day. Yeah. And then we cut to the produce stand with all the hicks there. Wayne, Derry, Squirrely Dan, and Katie. They mentioned the fact that they'd been invited to the McMurray's for a barbecue.
A barbecue, which is not exactly what they've been invited to.
No, we find that out
later.
Yeah.
A barbecue.
Yeah, and Wayne says he's going to take a soft pass.
Right? Not a hard no.
Not a hard no, but he's soft pass. That he's got other things he might want to do. Vis-a-vis Rosie, his girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
And he gets a bit of shtick from the others for not going out enough with either doing the classic blunder of pre-COVID times, especially of just resting on your laurels and staying at home and not
TV and sex on a regular basis is what they're accusing him of.
And this precipitates a number of references, beginning with the ubiquitous Netflix and chill.
Right.
Or now by now cliche Netflix and chill. And they go on a number of tangents.
Yeah, they did all of the platforms.
Even BitTorrent at one point.
Yes.
Which I'm like, that's not a streaming service.
Right, it's a thing you might watch on a TV.
Larger category of consumables vis-a-vis viewing, The one I liked the best was Amazon Primes and Sexy Times.
Yeah, that was my favorite too.
Yeah, and that was from Squirrely Dan's.
That was a pretty perfect one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they leave off with, I guess, how does that resolve itself? They decide that they're all going to go.
Yeah, it seems like they just sort of guilt him into.
Badger him into acquiescing and going along for no other reason. He doesn't have an excuse.
Right, but you're thinking that like Rosie would come with him.
Right, he'll go out. Yeah, he'll make good on that.
Yeah.
The idea of
doing something different. Yeah.
Right. Instead, we cut to scene one at the McMurray's.
Fort McMurray.
and their farmhouse, because as we know, they're part of the Hickiverse.
That's good.
Right. And we get a glimpse of those two in Hawaiian silk robes and bathing suits.
Oh yeah,
Different plans on a traditional barbecue. They're riffing on a traditional barbecue.
This is where you realize it's not your average barbecue,
right? Yeah. Which I think already many people anticipated that. I certainly did as a viewer. Many of the characters did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, the Hicks seem to be, many, some of them at least, oblivious to this possibility.
Yes, a few are keyed in, and a few are oblivious.
And the two that are oblivious get disabused of their naivete quite ably and quickly in this course of this.
In good time.
Right.
Yeah.
So they, Mr. McMurray lays down the house rules.
Right.
Which are?
Have fun.
That's it.
That's it.
One rule, right?
And squirrely dances.
Well, that should be easy to remember.
I love the sincerity of his statement. Like, he was ready to just memorize the house rules, right?
Yeah. He was convinced.
That was teenage squirrely dance.
Yeah, he's a rule follower. Like, he's probably very adamant about, you know, being on top of things like that. But nope. Pretty much handled that, you know, without many synapses firing.
There's then an offshoot. Well, I don't know if you were going to lead into this, but there's this like off camera convo, which you see on camera between Gail and Glenn, where we realize they are also downstairs.
They're already in the house downstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that intercedes in the midst of this scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
With Gail and Glenn in the hot tub already. Glenn inexplicably in a in a diving suit, a rubber body.
Well,
glove.
As a man of God, he should not be showing his skin. I assume that's what that is.
Just religious based modesty. Okay.
Yeah,
I can get behind that, but then you're in a hot tub with a oh, body goodness. Glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how you boil inside your own
as
skin.
As I say, you can accomplish the same ends with a t-shirt.
Without
having to resort to such extremes, but you know, be that as it may.
But the Lord says a diving suit.
Evidently, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And yeah, that scene concludes rather unnervingly with Mr. McMurray offering them food from the buffet table, all the while opening up his robe show his leopard print
speedos. Yeah.
His crotch almost on the table.
Yeah, essentially maybe a part of the buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point. Do you want some fruit or maybe an oyster?
Yes.
And
just
you see
a few little hints.
Yeah, you see it registered in the faces of the of the other Hicks that this they're not having much or any of that. No. So we cut to scene two, and that's downstairs in the hot tub.
Right.
We see everyone there, Gail, Glenn, the McMurrays, Squirrely Dan, Derry, Katie, but not Wayne.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. So where's Wayne?
Having a dart, likely.
Yep. Yeah. McMurrays launch into their discussion of their travel exploits.
Yes.
To Dominican.
Right, which is a constant conversation
with
them, right?
The Dominican Republic.
They love to talk about how they go
Acapulco.
To...
Acapulco.
Right.
At this point, you recognize that basically their speech is virtually incomprehensible without the closed captions on. You'd be
I had no idea what they were saying without the closed captions.
Yeah, the speed with which, the mumbling.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't know if that's actually, they're just feigning an extreme accent, or if they're, you know, highlighting the effects of the alcohol consumption that these two are involved
in. Yeah, which is what you said. I was thinking they were leaning into the shtick of it, but I think you're right that it was really showing that they had a few drinks already,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
Because if you're setting the scene for what type of party they actually want to have, they are plying themselves with alcohol.
Presumably, so, yeah. I think that's part of their daily practice anyway.
Yeah, cocksuck and G&T.
It's appeared, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? So they, in the midst of this discussion of their travels, they ask if people want to play the game.
Never have I ever.
Yes. Which none of the people had ever played.
Right, which is funny because, well, I mean, I guess it's just a game. They're using it as a drinking game specifically about sexual proclivities.
Right.
So not in a way that I've ever played that game.
No, I
thought
that was the only way
to
play
it.
Oh, really?
Oh. Oh, see, I came from this really weird background where everything was, like, Jesus-centered. And so...
Never have I ever sinned against my Lord.
Never have I ever read the book of Revelations all the way through. Something like that.
Right.
That was a little more my experience with never have I ever.
Well, that's what I think Mr. McMurray meant when he said, make it Randy.
Yeah. He was like, spit some Bible references.
Yeah, please. Never have I ever fully understood Leviticus.
That's the worst book of the Bible.
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's terrible.
I just know.
No one should read it.
Fun name. Although,
yeah.
What's the other one that stands out?
I mean, there are a few that are just like really bad.
Right. Leviticus and, there's obviously.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
It's a lot of like rules and do this, don't do that. This is how you kill this person and this is why you kill this person. Yeah. A lot of old school shit.
Sounds like it should be a course of study, like trigonometry, Deuteronomy.
Yes. My gosh. I like it. Yeah. But no one should study it because I apologize to any of our listeners who are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's all just a bunch of
stories. All are welcome
stories.
Under our tent.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
It's a big tent, but not like the Republicans.
No, not that kind of big tent. It's more of a big teepee.
Yes, a big inclusive.
Big wigwam.
Yes. Anyway.
So they initiate the game of Never Have I Ever, and Mrs. McMurray is granted the first pass, and does make it Randy. I forget exactly what she says.
She says had sex with more than one person at a time.
Right. I guess the premise entry. This game is game in quotes, right, is that you drink if you have done it.
Yes, that's how she explains
right.
it.
Right, and only her and Mr. McMurray drink if you're paying any attention.
Which I expected Katie. So, you have more than one boyfriend on the regular.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting she didn't drink to that.
She's coding that differently. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. You're right. She probably is.
And her response to this is
you're going 0 to 60 already. Right.
And then she immediately gets up and gets out.
Right, she's out.
She goes.
Yeah. So Wayne was already out.
Wayne's,
now
Wayne
she's
never
out.
Was in, and she gets out to help Wayne get with his beer.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the running gag of how you get out.
Exactly.
He's doing his new beer. Yeah. Right. So then we go from there to scene three.
Yep.
We go to the gym.
Yeah.
We see the hockey boys again.
Yes, Jonesy and Riley.
I looked it up. I thought I was correct again. Riley is the blonde one.
It is Riley.
Riley
okay.
is the blonde one.
Yeah.
Not
because
that it matters
I initially
a lot.
Thought
a pair,
it was
they're...
Jonesy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
For like
yeah.
months,
yeah.
I thought it was Jonesy.
I was never trying to parse them. And then I think at one point they became... When they separated.
Yeah.
And this scene is, probably the greatest example of physical comedy in the series, to my mind. The stuff that I remember the most, at least.
Oh, these two.
So they're at the mirror at the gym,
mm-hmm.
Discussing how they think they've plateaued in their training.
Right.
Not seeing any gains.
Not seeing any Charlotte
gains, bro.
Charlotte Gaines, again and again
yeah,
and again.
And so they do a little pose off or posing.
Oh, hold on, no. It's not just a little. Like, don't diminish this.
Well, it's not a pose off because it's not a competition. Pose down.
Right, yeah, right? Pose down. That's good.
Right,
yeah.
So, like something reminiscent of what you'd see at a bodybuilding competition.
Yes, they're clearly attempting to do those types of poses.
Yeah, and they've obviously studied this stuff because they have some sense of how it's done.
Yeah,
they're
clearly,
very mannered.
Like, do this on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah. Well, they say that they've done it. They actually make mention of the fact that they do it. They've done it alone, but
right.
now they should do it side by side.
Right. Yeah. Full circuit, buddy.
Yeah, to get a sense of how they
of poses.
Right. How they compare. And this is just too good. And we comment on their bodies because even though they're not.
That's
where
I think we should start.
They're clearly not bodybuilders. how would you describe their bodies?
I think we landed on it in our viewing discussion. They are athletic early 20 somethings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah.
your average early 20 dude, early 20s dude who, like, maybe spends some time at the gym. Or plays, like, soccer on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And doesn't drink constantly.
Yeah.
Essentially looks like Jonesy and Riley.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, those who've been blessed with, like, the thinner body build, that's what you're getting right there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Not bodybuilder material.
No, profound definition. No.
No,
you know.
No huge pecs.
Super ripped torsos.
No, yeah.
And then, you know, and they, but they're athletes, clearly, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And so they do this whole pose down. And we get a glimpse of it from behind the two, or off the side, but behind the two, where we see them in the mirror and in the backs of them, right? Mm-hmm. Facing the mirror. And they get done, and I'll let you tell it, because I know you, you enjoy this more than I do.
So when they start, they like pull their sleeves up, yep, right? Okay. And then they pull their shorts up, which caught me off guard to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because Jonesy's thighs were like really hairy. And I just thought that was, it just caught my eye. I thought it was funny. So you see them pull their shorts up, but then as they go through the poses, you see in every shot, not every shot, but just about every shot, when the camera moves from Riley and then goes back to being able to see full body shot of Riley, his pants are pulled up higher and higher each time.
Yeah.
And so they're like at the crotch level, and then it's full, it's like half ass cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're back down, and then it's full ass cheek.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because you know between shots, he's pulling his pants up higher and higher just to fuck with everybody on set.
Yeah.
And I love it. It cracked me up so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. It was such a, just like a wink at the whole thing, right?
Yeah. And it's, I think what allows it to be pulled off, because I didn't even notice it until you mentioned it. Because I was looking at their images in the mirror, because it's like this split,
right? Yeah,
almost a split screen effect where you can see the front of them in the mirror and the back,
right.
in the foreground,
in the background, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you look at them, and I was focusing on their front in the mirror.
Because I was looking at Jonesy's thighs, and so then I was looking at like the backs of them. I was just really like, why did they pull their shorts up so high? And then, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's, Riley.
It's great.
I'm looking at your ass cheeks.
Yeah, yeah. All, yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Three, and I think my favorite part of that.
Three-quarter ass, yeah.
Yeah, three-quarter ass is that Riley's ass cheeks had like a wee bit of sag to them.
Mm.
And I appreciated that that's some real-life ass cheeks right there.
Keeping it real, you know?
Keeping it real with your ass cheeks.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Love real
the body
bodies.
You have. Yeah.
Yeah, love your body.
Yep.
Any hoozle.
Yeah, so the upshot of that is that they're not happy with their status and their...
Right, they agree.
They decide that they are going to augment their training routine with...
Half cycle of rips.
Of steroids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they...
Oh, yeah, not rips, roids.
Right. Yeah. So that concludes that scene three. Now we go to scene four. We're back at the McMurray's place. This
right.
time outside, where we see Wayne having a dart. And who should appear but...
Miss Tanis!
Tanis herself. She had evidently been invited, showed up late. She asked Wayne if he knows what the McMurrays are up to.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He's clued in.
She knows.
From the jump.
She knows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then she's surprised when he expresses the fact that he knows what's up, why he would leave his girlfriend downstairs, presumably with them.
Right.
To which he brings her up to speed, the fact that Rosie isn't there.
Rosie isn't there.
She's home reading a book.
Likely.
Likely. Tanis is dubious about this. Right?
And this begins a theme that we see in a few episodes. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, why is she always reading a book?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't she with you? Or is she up to something? Which is what Tanis is.
Which I can't
suggesting.
Read as anything but just another example of abject anti-intellectualism in North American society.
You're right, baby. That's what that is.
Right? That people...
Haters gonna hate on the readers.
Even if people like read good books, like
Carrie.
As Wayne says.
It's Wayne's. Yeah, it's the first book he thinks of.
Yeah.
That
I'm sure it's Stephen King, right? It's sure it's well written. I don't know if I'd put it in the pantheon of the fine literature of even the 20th century, but.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a well written book because he is a very good writer, but.
Right.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so Tanis, having planted this seed of doubt,
yes.
then
yeah.
says that she's gone because the only reason she came was. for Wayne, and if he's not down in the hot tub,
he's not down to play.
Yeah,
so,
right?
Yeah, he is loyal to his girl.
Yep.
And that's that.
So she is out.
Mm-hmm.
Scene 5 takes us inside down to the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is our second time that Glenn has lost an olive in the hot tub.
We passed over that.
Yeah.
That was actually earlier. The interlude in the first scene.
Yeah.
When they cut to that.
And Gail. Gail,
very happy to help him out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, yeah.
Oh, she's in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Reaches down and quite adeptly.
Yeah.
Gets that olive.
Finds that
extracts
olive.
Extracts the olive from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really like Glenn's reaction, because he's not jumping out of the hot tub because she's touching him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little uncomfortable, but he's also okay with sitting, like continuing to sit next to her.
Yeah.
He's not scared of interaction with, you know, a sexual interaction with somebody.
Body interaction.
Exactly.
And I don't recall much more about
that's
that
essentially
scene.
It. Yeah. Oh, and then Derry leaves.
Derry leaves at the end of this scene. He gets weirded out by the stuff that McMurray's are laying down. So he goes off to help Wayne with his beer.
Yeah, so now Wayne, Katie, and Derry are all outside on the porch.
Yeah, and then that cuts us to scene 6, outside the three of them.
Yes.
And they begin to talk about how they're going to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do a traditional Irish goodbye?
Right, that's where
right, which I'd never heard about until... probably until I moved to Pittsburgh.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or at least in late adulthood.
Yeah.
Just because I grew up in a rather unethnically nuanced part of the world.
And we here in Pittsburgh have a variety of European ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
And of late, a few others, which is fantastic. And I love it so much.
Yeah.
But the tradition of Pittsburgh is just, you know, a variety of Europeans.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Irish goodbye, you know, I'm sure it's a way to...
It's a thing that I have been familiar with.
Yeah. These parts of the world with significant numbers of European-derived ethnicities, as you say. And so they talk about the possibility of an Irish goodbye. They discount that. They could do the French exit.
I'm not going to do that.
It's actually more prominently, you know, skipping out on a bill, they say.
Mm-hmm.
You do the Turkish takeoff.
Which was that one?
I didn't
shoot, neither of us
exactly.
Remember.
Yeah, yeah. That it wasn't significant.
Mm-hmm.
The Tokyo Sayonara, that was a good one, right? Remember that?
That's our...
That's where you don't say goodbye to anybody but to the cat.
Yes.
I don't know why they choose to call that
in some
Japanese,
ways it feels
right?
A little like because Japanese culture, there's a lot of like... focus on cats as pets and stuff, so it feels a little...
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just... But I think it's stereotypical. I don't know if that's, like, actually true of, like, people living in Tokyo.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I think that's what they're playing off of.
Yeah.
And we should mention that in terms of playing off of stereotypes, Derry thinks that the French exit is when you climax on a girl and leave without cleaning up. So in terms of stereotypes, they're...
Leave it to Derry.
Fair is fair, right?
Leave it to Derry to take it to that.
Then we get to the letter. Can he leave?
The letter. Can he leave? Right. Which is you.
Well, you and I had some discussion. You say the phrase, and then we'll talk about what we.
Yeah, you steal a twofer and you walk through a sliding glass door.
Right.
And we didn't actually bother to look it up. I meant to.
No,
but
we didn't.
What a 2-4 is, I hazarded a guess that it was some way to contain alcohol, beer.
Yeah, probably
my,
a 24-pack,
was
right?
My guess.
That was your...
Yeah, and then you walk through sliding glass door, which I just couldn't... I can't contain how much
I love this
joy that is.
Because
how many times I've seen... people at parties, you know, drunks especially, to walk into or through screen doors or sliding glass doors.
Yes.
It's just, you know, legion the numbers of times. And it's never not funny.
Always funny.
Unless you're doing it. And then it's kind of still yet funny in a very...
And embarrassing.
Poignant way.
But, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, we've all run into doors.
Bittersweet joy. So that's the Letterkenny leave. They discount that possibility.
Well, so, but you assumed it was a 24-pack.
Mm-hmm.
I took it a different direction when I first heard him say it. Steal a 2-4 and walk through a sliding door. I immediately pictured and thought that he meant steal a 2x4 and then walk through the door. And I thought, well, that makes sense. And also, how many people have 2x4s just like sitting around their houses when they're having parties?
Right.
But, you know, so I went a different direction.
Yeah.
I think your association is probably correct.
So by looking at the Letterkenny fandom site,
oh, yeah. Did
I
it
can,
have a...
can confirm.
Can confirm.
The 2-4 is slang for a 24 can case of beer.
Okay.
From 1927 to 2018, beer in Ontario was sold primarily at the Beer Store, a retail chain with large stores with sliding glass doors like a supermarket, and someone attempting to steal from the store could very well run into the door in haste.
Wow, what a reference!
All right, there you go.
Very, well done!
Very specific. Yeah.
Letterkenny
right?
people.
Yep, keeping it real, as
they
say.
As the kids say.
As they
keeping
say.
It real.
Yep.
Yep.
So, they put aside all that because they're not willing to do that yet.
We're not ready for the Letterkenny guy. Letterkenny leave.
Uh-huh. At this point, then... Squirrely Dan joins them on the deck, having been himself run out, presumably, of the downstairs.
Yeah, I guess they took a break, and he's just sort of on the deck, drinking the same drink he's been drinking the whole time.
Yeah, he's
so
really,
judging him for that.
He's really pacing himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not... That's
probably
not
good, because it probably kept him safe.
Well, it's day drinking, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pace yourself at that point.
Mm-hmm.
He appears for a dart, and... Wayne immediately asks him if he appreciates the fact that the McMurrays are, you know, part of and intent upon practicing the lifestyle.
Oh, you mean the agricultural management lifestyle?
Yeah, exactly.
That one?
That's Squirrely Dan's response. Katie says no.
Oh, you mean the livestock management lifestyle?
Dairy says no. The lifestyle.
Oh, the dairy farming lifestyle.
Which they are clearly a part of. Yeah.
Clearly a part of that also.
Yeah. Squirrely Dan is oblivious.
He has no idea.
Goes back to Wayne. The no, the lifestyle. To which Squirrely Dan expresses his fact that he's not connecting the dots.
Has no idea what he's saying.
Any more profound way than that. So we're left to wonder. Instead, we cut now to scene 7 in Stuart's
mom's basement.
And there we find the Skids and the hockey boys have come before them to get their steroids.
Right. It's time to buy our roids.
Yep. And this is a pretty fun scene because we get to see Rold and Stuart being Rold D and Stuart-y.
I love Rold.
Yeah. And can't contain all the details of that because they're
so fast paced and those characters are so like I want to say complex, but that's not really it. There's just like this depth of dialogue. And that's what, like, you can't quite keep up with the references and what, like, not just the references, but what they are, how they are saying each statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be an outside allusion or an allusion to something that's happened in the show. And it's a lot to keep track of.
No, there's lots of nuance, you're right, to notice that. It's a challenge to parse all them stuff. And we don't spend a lot of time, actually, on that on the details thereof.
No, it's a,
There's little bits of joy, nevertheless. What does stand out in this scene is the fact that the Skids actually, Stuart, it tries to convince or to highlight to the hockey boys the profound side effects
of
steroid use.
Never have I ever met a drug dealer who tells you about the side effects of the drugs that he's about to sell you.
Right, yeah. So marking Stuart and the Skids out is slightly different, cut from a different cloth,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they point out the fact that you will get back knee, extreme yeah. back knee.
Mm-hmm.
You will have extreme testicle shrinkage,
mm-hmm.
and you will likely have roid rage.
Yeah,
all of which are real consequences of steroid
yeah,
use.
Yeah, I watched that video in health class in 10th grade.
Oh, I did.
That's
not...
what happens.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, so,
all joy. All yeah. sound like really a lot of fun. Riley and Jonesy are about ready to back out, it seems, almost.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they try to talk themselves out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they're finally, Stuart and Roel close the deal. And,
right. And you should be good.
Yeah.
You should be good.
Yeah.
You should be good.
So they accept their doctor's advice.
Yeah.
And they,
Dr. Stuart.
And they take their pill bottles and off they go. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Taking their half cycle.
Yeah, half cycle. Yeah, not a full cycle.
Not a full cycle.
Because they want to be all natural by the time,
right,
the, time of the season
got
starts.
Got a quick cold turkey.
Right?
Yeah.
So scene 8 takes us back to the hot tub
mm-hmm.
where McMurray is talking to Squirrely Dan
uh-huh.
about his friend Juan Jorge.
Yes.
Who he has met.
In one of their resorts.
One of the resorts. And there Juan Jorge has educated Mr. McMurray
mm-hmm.
as to... the character and practice of the cuckoldbird.
Yes.
Who is apparently the source from which derives the term...
to be cuckolded.
Cuckoldry.
Yeah.
And the idea that the cuckold is not uncomfortable with other male suitors involved with their female partners.
Right. So just quick note here. As anyone who has read Shakespeare... the reference to the cuckold in any Shakespearean text is that you've been shamed,
mm-hmm.
which is not how McMurray frames it. He goes a different,
right,
more
his
liberal
Juan Jorge
view.
Yeah, considers yes. this to be the inspiration to greater sexual attraction
yeah.
and to actually stronger bonds with your partner
yeah.
by the fact that you would have someone else make love to them.
Yes.
Yes.
Plant their seeds within them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is the straw that breaks the camel's back that is... It is Squirrely Dan.
This is what places it in focus
yes.
for Squirrely Dan.
Yeah, he might have been, he might be a little thick, but he's not
yeah.
that thick.
And the whole time they're having this conversation, Mrs. McMurray, well, okay, so Squirrely Dan's seat throughout the entire episode
yeah,
is in between the McMurrays.
We overlooked that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
We should
so they
have
never,
that.
It never changes. You always see the same camera view. McMurray, Squirrely Dan the middle, and Mrs. McMurray on the other side. And this was inexplicable, the case from the jump.
Yeah, initially we mm-hmm. were we were wondering out loud, why is he sitting between
right.
them? That's so weird. And then, oh, right, obviously, that yeah, makes
yeah.
sense.
No. Yeah.
And so during this whole conversation about what Juan Jorge has taught them and being cuckolded and yada, 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 Mrs. McMurray is like, rubbing, it looks like she's rubbing Squirrely Dan's leg, but maybe she's just rubbing her own leg.
Yeah.
But there's some movement underwater, which is concerning if you don't want anything to happen between the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So that's happening.
And it culminates with her taking Squirrely Dan's hand, then provoking him to. Now I want to go check on somebody else's beer.
Right. And, time to check out a beer.
Yeah. And so he is out as well.
Yes.
And this, he goes up on the deck where the other people are still yet remain, the Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
States that they should make a Brexit, perhaps.
That one needs no explanation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Singapore scram.
Mm-hmm. Or a Singapore scram.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one involved a helicopter, I think.
Yeah, that
yeah.
was it, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Must have been, yeah, maybe some.
It felt like very like Die Hard, Mission Impossible type.
I assume so.
Yeah, that was a
reference
right.
there.
Yeah,
yeah exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't see any resolution to that point, strictly
speaking.
No,
because that's when Mrs. McMurray and McMurray come out and say, nobody's going anywhere. It's karaoke time.
Karaoke time.
Karaoke time.
Because I've got a karaoke machine.
That is...
only in Chinese, but it still works just fine.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Brand new from the swap meet.
So
it's
we cut,
excellent.
Cut back to the Stewart's mom's basement.
Well done.
For scene 9. And we see a character we've never seen before, apparently a youngish school-age woman.
Yeah, like a high school young woman.
Who's there for her writs.
Yes, Ritalin.
A.K.A. Ritalin.
Yeah.
And apparently, who knows, those kids are also a pharmacist. Apparently.
Sure.
Right. And so they offer it up, but what do you know, it turns out... it's not the right bottle.
It's roids, not Ritz.
They want to give her roids, which means, as they realize very quickly, that they gave her Ritz to the hockey boys.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they have this whole back and forth about Ritz, not roids, roids, not Ritz. And that reminds me, well, no, it more than reminds me. It's definitely a callback to when Glenn and the Skids were battling for the... mm-hmm. parking lot, and it was Rips, not, what was it? Rips, not Roids?
No.
It was Rips, not something. Shoot. I'll find it in my notes.
Right. I don't call it either.
But it was the same type of rhythm in the way they were saying
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we go to scene 10, which is at the gym. We see the hockey boys. And they're clearly out of their head on this.
On Ritz.
On Ritz, you know, which is some form of, right, speed-ish stuff that causes extra focus in the case, their case.
Yeah, so I mean the way young people use Ritalin when they don't have ADHD is they use it to, quote-unquote, focus when they're trying to study. I've never taken it. I have no idea if it works the way the kids say it does. Mm. Maybe it does in some way. Maybe it's just the placebo effect and or addiction.
Yeah. Well, I understand it. It's a stimulant, like a form of, you know, it may not be methamphetamines, but it's somewhere adjacent to that, chemically
right.
speaking.
And
so
gets
it's like,
you to
yeah, it does
laser focus, you know, on a thing.
Yeah. So if you're already someone who's pretty good at school, capable in that regard, it probably, probably enhances that capability.
Yeah. Right.
I would imagine. Probably. With significant consequences, but I don't know.
Yeah, no. Kids do not try this at home.
No, this is not, we are not.
No,
advocating.
Do not take Ritz to be able to focus. Just get some good sleep.
And hydrate. And drug use outside of the confines of your doctor's prescriptions.
Yeah,
so then they kind of are weirding out, but they...
they do, they have the chalkboard, they're like mapping out their whole thing.
Figure out their whole thing, yeah.
For anybody who hasn't watched this episode yet and or can go back and watch it again, you should go back to this scene and look closely at the chalkboard, because there's a fatty stick figure that says Shorzy equals fat. They have their schedule along the bottom. And when it's a leg day, there's an asterisk and it says optional. Cardio day, there are two asterisks and it says fuck cardio.
Yeah.
It's just great. There's so much on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun little tableau of Jonesy and Riley vis-a-vis working out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some nice little details there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from there, we cut back to, that scene ends actually with the boys realizing that they're taking the wrong drugs.
Because
a couple of the other gym patrons come up and notice that they're Ritz, not Roids.
Ritz, not Roids, boys.
And so they realize the error of their ways, or better said, the error of the Skids' ways. And so scene 11 takes us back to Fort McMurray, and the McMurrays are at the karaoke.
Karaoke,
and right. In Chinese.
Yes.
And
just trying to sing those
apparently
Chinese subtitles Chinese lyrics. Yeah,
they're captioned. They're closed captions phonetically.
Yeah, so, they're doing all right. Mrs. McMurray is giving it her all.
I don't know. I didn't know you spoke Mandarin to know that they're
doing
it well.
Yes, no, she's. doing a wonderful job. I mean, Mr. McMurray, more of like a Cantonese accent happening with his singing, but she's full on with the Mandarin.
Yeah. So the only other people that yet remain are Glenn and Gail. And after they conclude their song, which Glenn comments on, oh, she sings like a bird.
Oh, yeah.
Or she's like an angel.
Sings like an angel. He loves listening to her sing.
That they, seems now it's time to get down to business. Gail, sensing this, begins to state her parameters.
She's got some rules. So it's clear to her.
She knows what's
what is about to happen, right? Yeah. So a few of her rules I'm quoting here from fandom. Figging and cupping and light electroplay are all on the table. But I do have soft limits on canine roleplay and mummification.
Which I think we all should. I think you really got to think through your stances on all those categories.
I appreciate all of it.
Before you go into any sort of polyamorous event.
She says her safe word is,
And it's just not a great safe word.
No, and I like that Mrs. McMurray asks her to repeat it to, like, ensure she has it down, right? Because she wants to respect her safe word.
Yeah. Observe. That's what Miss McMurray says each time.
Right.
Observe.
Observed.
Yeah.
Observed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the whole time, Glenn is in shock. It has never occurred to him that this is more than
it's finally dawning on him. Yeah.
Right.
He's even further behind than Squirrely Dan was in his appreciation of what actually is going on. Right.
And he says, oh, you guys are polyamorous, even though you're married. Well, that's a sin. I have to go. And he's not judging them. Again, how much I love Glenn. He's not judging them. It's just a statement of fact that for him in his world, this is a sin.
Yeah.
And so he cannot be here for this.
He's not.
And have fun, you guys. I gots to go. Yeah.
Right.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the end of that scene. So the final scene takes us back to the produce stand.
Yep.
All the hicks are available. And the takeaway there is they are just kind of debriefing on the whole experience.
Yeah, their whole swingers party that they were invited to.
Right. The whole idea that they walk among us, these people that apparently seem otherwise
undetected.
Yeah, mainstream in many other regards, or still yet.
But everyone except Squirrely Dan seems to be aware that this is what they were up to. And
I don't know, Derry was.
Derry was. Yeah, it was just Derry
was oblivious. Yeah, Wayne.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie and Wayne were aware, cognizant of that possibility at least. Prior to it going down, Wayne says it's good to be back in the comfort zone.
Right.
And then he takes a call from Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
Who apparently asks if he wants to watch a little Crave and Misbehave.
I like it. One more platform. Yeah. Throw it into that mix.
Yeah. And he says, hard yes.
Hard yes.
And Crave, is Crave actually the one that puts this on?
Yeah, I think that's the Canadian that was there.
Right.
Yeah, and then it's Hulu for us.
Right. Yeah. So that was
a good reference.
Yeah, nice little callback or reference, as you say. So, any takeaways other than what we've talked about?
Well, I was disappointed that we didn't get more from Gaylor.
Yes.
All those scenes in the hot tub, she sat there quietly, aside from when she was fishing olives out of Glenn's crotch.
I was gonna say, we got a taste.
We got, right, yeah, but there are many scenes where she's...
Just a little sous-sens.
I mean, then we get a really good, you know, unveiling of typical Gaylor at the end there. But, I mean, that's like 90 seconds. I need more Gaylor.
You want more?
Okay. I need more Gail. Yeah. Always.
Not
and there were so many, like, this is such a perfect Gail episode,
potentially,
right?
Yeah.
But I guess really it's about the Hicks.
And they're coming to terms.
And
they're,
coming
to awareness, at least.
Yeah, whereas Gail throughout the whole thing is fully aware and
that's why she's there.
In for the ride and ready to go.
She's there for that reason, as we come to fully appreciate. Why Glenn is there and stays the whole time, I'm not. That is still yet unclear.
I mean, I like that they invite him. They are like, well, maybe Glenn's into this. Maybe he'll...
Sure. Well, they're nothing if not inclusive.
Exactly. I mean,
they don't seem to have a lot
invite
of boundaries.
Invite everyone. Yeah.
A lot of boundaries in any facet of
their
lives.
They don't have any boundaries.
So, I don't know. I don't know many people like that who have no boundaries.
No, you don't. I thought you were going to say swingers.
I don't
boundaryless, yes, you do know a few of us.
Swingers?
No, the boundaryless.
Oh, I missed that.
The swingers, I'm not a part of that crew.
I did have
a friend a few, more than a few years ago, who she and her husband were clearly propositioning. I had to stop speaking to them after that because I was... they had done a soft proposition a few times. And I was trying to skirt the issue and be like, no, we can still be friends. I just don't want to have sex with you guys. And then there was a very direct proposal. And that's when I said... That's when in my head I was like, well, I can't be friends with him anymore.
They provoked it too far.
Yeah, they went too far. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah, I assume that's where it gets sticky. Because if you're doing it and it's all above board and everybody's very transparent.
Right. If everybody's
and takes no for no.
Yeah.
Or accepts that.
Exactly.
And respects that.
Like, cool,
then,
cool.
And you can
go do that with others.
Right. You go on your merry way.
Yeah.
But obviously, the challenge becomes maintaining transparency and or accepting when you get an answer that you don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where I see that. I can see how it seems like this, the lifestyle, as they refer to it, is proliferating and becoming more common possibility, it seems. I wouldn't know. I don't have
direct access to... Or just being talked about more, maybe...
Yeah. I mean, I presume I have to take that as an expression of it becoming more common, that it's not just being foisted out of the ether. But at the same time, it seems like it's going to have it's a challenging proposition, no pun intended, for that to become anything like a common alternative, just for those reasons I said. It's like puts a lot of pressure on communication and transparency, and just the actual openness of the people involved. Because it's easy to say you're down, you're cool, you're open, and I'm not sure that the majority of people who say they might be are end up at the end of the day.
I have yet to meet a couple who actually have been able to pull that off and maintain their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So this couple got divorced within probably 2 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
They did, to my understanding, they propositioned some other people, and I'm pretty sure that they did have a couple that they engaged with, but it didn't work because for them they were trying to fulfill something within their relationship that wasn't working for them.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You can see it. And at that point, though, it's hard for me to see it as entirely a negative thing. If you're trying to do it as a means to maintain a relationship or create a dynamic that would be mutually satisfying to a relationship that is already potentially going off the rails, then why not? You should have the license and the opportunity to choose whatever else you feel might work, with the obvious, the practical caveat, which is it may not work at all.
And I take it as it's like in the same category of like, this marriage isn't working, let's have a kid. Right? Like, none of these are solutions to actually fixing the issue that you have a marriage that's not happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if the answer is the condition that is provoking your unhappiness is childlessness, then having a child fix it.
Yeah.
Or having
more than one partner.
If your issue is you're not being satisfied sexually, then that seems to me to be a viable option.
Hello there. I'm coming to you as an additional comment at the end of this episode. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties that foreclosed our discussion in this episode. Another one of the long-standing technical errors we've had so far on this platform. So we apologize for that, and there was a much more wide-ranging conversation that unfortunately was lost in that discussion. We didn't feel it was in our interest or yours to try to recreate that, so we're simply going to let the episode end here where it did and go on from there. So you can look for our next episode hopefully soon. Sadly, it too is lost to technical difficulties after we recorded it just last night, but we're hoping to re-record it soon and have it out there as soon as possible for the rest of you to hopefully enjoy. So again, apologize. I know part of the joy of following any podcast I found is continuity and having something to look forward to on a fairly regular basis. So we do apologize. I apologize personally for dropping the ball on that and for the technical difficulties that's out of our hands, but they're part of the equation too. So thank you all for your patience and your support, and we'll be back to you with more content as soon as we possibly can.